is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm April Richardson.
And I'm Kyle Dawson.
And now I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I liked how we told you to give a beat. You gave a very elaborate...
You went full Wayne's
like,
World.
Like 3, 2, 1. Then you pointed to yourself and then you just immediately started laughing. And then laughing. You didn't even give yourself a beat. You just went right,
into it. So we're here tonight. We're not a late night record. It's only 8:13 on a Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get home in 45 minutes to watch Friends.
Oh, no. Yeah. I often forget. I'm glad you said it was Thursday. I forget what day it is all the time.
You've been...
I often forget that Friends is no longer on the air.
Friends doesn't exist. I never watched it when it was on. I've seen 2 episodes of Friends in my entire life.
That's enough. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Which one did you see? The one with... one where you watch Seinfeld instead?
Ha ha! I've seen one episode of Seinfeld in my life.
One episode of Seinfeld? What's your favorite sitcom?
Cheers.
Frasier. I did watch the shit out of Cheers. I don't know. I never... At the time Friends was on, what was I watching? That's like when I was in high school.
Party of Five.
Ha ha. No, I don't really...
Melrose Place.
I mean, yeah, I totally watched Melrose Place.
Did you really?
Dawson's
Creek.
Yeah,
for sure. I did not watch Dawson's Creek. I watched 90210. I watched Cheers, of course, but when I was little, I watched things with my mom like Dallas and Falcon Crest and Dynasty.
Probably wasn't appropriate, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I was with my mom and she said it was okay.
Explain it to you.
I can't remember. My appointment television around Friends time, I think, was like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yeah.
And Different World and Cosby Show, unfortunately.
How crazy was that Melrose Place episode where she took her wig off and she had
that
big scar? That was really gross.
Yeah. It was really gross.
I was like, oh, no, what happened? I watched Melrose Place, too.
Yeah.
I watched 90210 also.
Yeah.
They give the right zip code? 90210?
90210. Yep.
That's right.
But I was also watching like the Ben Stiller Show and stuff when...
Ben Stiller Show.
I was more
good.
Into that stuff.
You just got that on... You just picked that up on DVD. Did you watch it yet?
Yeah, no, not yet.
What are you waiting for?
Oh, you haven't seen it ever?
I've seen sketches, but never whole episodes. So
I get jealous. It's like a thing where I wish I could watch it again for the first time. You know what I mean?
Just buy it on DVD. It's $5. Yeah,
$5. No, but you know what I mean. Having never seen it. Yeah.
You'll see Ben Stiller do a great Bruce Springsteen impression.
Oh my God! Yeah,
I may have seen that clip before.
And the guy who plays Saul Goodman's in it too.
Oh,
he's got a bright future ahead of him. That guy.
Does. Do you watch Better Call Saul?
I've started watching, I don't have cable, but I started, season one's on Netflix now.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Oh, so you just jumped right into Better Call Saul.
Well, I love Bob Odenkirk. I will follow him anywhere.
Except Breaking Bad.
Well, but he's not the focus of that, though. And the thing with Breaking Bad, I'm not watching it on purpose. It's just the sort of thing, I remember I was dating Andy when it was actually on the air, and there were a couple episodes where I had to leave the room. It was gruesome.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I don't think I can, as much as it's acclaimed and every single person I know tells me it's the best and I believe you, I don't know if I can handle it.
Yeah.
Because there really were a couple of times where I tried to be sitting next to him like, okay, whatever. And then I'd be like, oh my God, I can't handle this.
Right.
So I don't know if I'll ever watch it.
So you don't watch violence? You don't like violence?
I can't really handle it.
All right.
It gives me nightmares.
You don't watch Game of Thrones?
No, well, that I don't give a shit about because it's like wizards and shit. Hell no to that. I don't give a care about anything that's even remotely Renaissance Festival related.
So
no wizards, no dragons, no swords.
No medieval times.
No
Hobbit.
Nope.
No music by Yes.
No, that's like the wizardiest. We've already been over this.
I know, that's why I
Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm super
Harry Potter.
I saw the first 2 Harry Potter movies and then I was like, I think I'm good on this. Like, I don't need to see all
of them.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not.
No,
I'm
wizard
not
stuff.
In the wizards.
What about Star Wars? You like Star Wars?
It's sci-fi.
I saw
that's
all the Star Wars.
I know what it is, Kyle.
I saw those when I was a kid, but I have zero. I've not seen any recent ones.
All right.
I saw the original 3 when I was a kid, when everybody else did, and I'm good.
Do you like anything that's fantasy?
Honestly, not really. Right. I don't read fiction books.
All right.
I'm very firmly like,
I don't read many
let's stop being polite
either.
And let's get real.
I read just like rock bios. That's really
me
all
too,
I read.
No, me too. Or autobiography for sure. Just like historical things.
I'm jealous of people that can like read a book a week. You read, right? You're a big reader.
Yeah, I don't read as much as I used to.
Yeah, you dummy.
I read a lot, but they're never any. I feel bad. I wish I had a better imagination. Yeah. I'm almost jealous of people who are like super into fantasy things.
It takes me so long to get through like a book that isn't like that's fiction.
Right.
It takes me so long to
get
through.
Me too, because I'm kind of like, and this isn't a judgment. Again, I'm jealous if you have a good imagination, because I don't. And I feel like when I read a fiction book, I'm kind of going, this is a waste of time. I should be learning something that's real instead of a thing that never existed or won't exist.
If I'm reading an autobiography and I put it down and don't get back to it for 2 weeks, I remember right where I left off.
Right.
But if it's fiction, I'll be like, I got to read like a couple pages back.
Right.
I forget what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. I can't find time to read either, because I fall asleep immediately when I start to read.
Really?
Yeah, like
I read a great. I mean, I read a lot on
Tom
planes.
Tom Petty was
pretty much. No matter what I'm reading.
No, I mean, being on planes is my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing.
Now you're gonna be on it
because you just have like 4 or 5 hours to just sit there and read or do whatever. Like no one can get in touch with you.
I'm like a child. I bring lots of activities because I know I'll be bored. Mm-hmm. I download like 4 of the shittiest movies that came out that year.
Right, right.
Good idea.
I bring a book.
Mm-hmm.
I have video games.
Right.
I do it all.
Yeah, I usually just read. I think
you're gonna be on. You told us before we started to record. You're gonna be traveling on a tour bus in the summer.
Yes.
Now that's gonna be.
I don't have any details yet, but yes.
Yeah, but that's gonna be cool.
It's going to be super cool.
Because you're going to have a lot of time to kill.
And I'm going to be living, that's like the dream. I'm going to be sort of like a rock star, but not. You know what I mean? It's like the most touriest of tours.
I don't know. I don't know that many comedians that have been on a tour bus.
Right, exactly.
So that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And this is a campaign tour bus, right?
It is a campaign. Chris Hardwick is running for president. The late entry.
And you're vice president?
I'm VP. Yeah.
Ted Cruz?
I watch Veep. That's a show I watch.
That's a good show.
Yes.
That's a comedy. It's not fantasy. It's
I know, but I was just, when we were talking about shows, that's appointment television for me.
Do you watch Silicon Valley also?
Yes, I haven't watched that new one. This is all courtesy of Chip Hope's HBO Go password. Don't call the cops on me, anyone listening. I haven't caught up on that one, but I watched the premiere of Veep last night.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that show's great.
It's so funny because by the time this is up, people have seen it or they won't have, and fuck them. As soon as the episode started, I'm like, what is on her face?
Right.
Because it was about she has a pimple on her face. But right. I was like, I actually.
Oh, you thought it was just like her face.
I thought Julia Louis-Dreyfus really had like a blemish.
And hey, what if she did? And they just had to write it into the show.
Maybe she did.
Yeah.
So yeah, Veep is a great show. I love Veep and Silicon Valley. All those guys just crack me up so much. Everyone that talks on Silicon Valley has a funny line.
Totally. And it's a weird thing where I'm like, I kind of know everyone on that show. It kind of blows my mind. You know, when I was first watching it, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's weird to, it's just cool. I'm like weirdly proud of them. That sounds weirdly motherly,
because it's a great show too.
For sure.
You know, it always sucks when your friends are on a show and it's not that good a show. They know it's not a good show. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, but yeah, when your friends do something of quality, you're like, yeah.
You're like, yeah, hell yeah.
You still send in, what are you doing?
Kind of I sent the email.
You sent me an email? Mm-hmm. So anyway, tonight's topic is, I threw you a whole bunch of stuff and you said, nope.
Look, nope. Only because,
nope.
One
but
of them,
you know what, but that's fine. If you, if you ever want to come up with a topic, that's cool. So this is simple. And we haven't done this since like, we did this one time before like season one. Like,
oh no.
Yeah, okay, but like so long.
Again,
so long
I needed
ago.
It to be simple because this is a very hectic couple of weeks for me. And some of the ones, like you were like, how about harmonicas? And I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to go through and listen.
Right.
Like these are just.
But then I said, how about an all Garth Brooks episode? And you're like,
and
no,
I was like, I don't want to be blamed for everyone unsubscribing to your podcast.
We did an all Dire Straits and an all Pink Floyd. And
I think
fine.
Even an all Garth Brooks for anyone who isn't me is going to be testing patience.
I think you bring the funny. So that's what people want.
They'll just fast forward through all the song parts.
Yeah.
To the topic. Yeah. So, I just, when you said that, I was like, I don't want to be held responsible for all the hate mail that you would get if we did an all Garth Brooks.
I mean, we have fans
episode.
In low places.
Hey.
We should do it sometime though. Cause even some of the lyrics are like, what's that one where what's that one song? It's on The Chase where he goes to work for the lonely widowed woman and she steals his virginity from him.
I don't know. I didn't know that you liked him at all.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's surprising. I totally thought that one of the times I played him, you were kind of like, what?
No, not true. No, I do like Garth.
Okay.
All right. So yes, Kyle?
I was going to say, I think we've had this discussion before. You played him And then he said he liked that song, and you were like, "No way! I didn't know you liked Garth Brooks."
I say that every time, every
you
single
can't believe that anyone
because
likes
no
Garth
one else. Yeah, exactly. Like no one else in my social circle likes him at all.
What is his alter ego? Is his name an alter ego?
Don't bring up Chris Gaines.
Chris Gaines.
Don't bring up Chris Gaines though. That never happened. I eternal sunshined Chris Gaines right out of my head.
Would you do an only Chris Gaines? Episode?
I would do no. That he didn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't even listen to that CD when it came out.
No, why would you have? No,
just for the fun of it, see what's going on.
I've never seen the video. And being like, what are you doing, Garth? Look at yourself.
Garth hosted Saturday Night Live, and Chris Gaines.
It was the musical guest.
Yeah.
And that really bummed me out because whenever he hosts Saturday Night Live, he's actually really funny.
He is.
He's good at it. And then when they were like, musical guest, Chris Gaines was like, no.
Did they ever do a Wayne, Garth, and Garth sketch?
I don't think they did. Oh, I don't think they did. Because this is after, this yeah. was in the 90s.
That'd be great.
This is Wayne, post Wayne's World.
Wayne, Garth, and Garth. That'd be excellent.
The Newhart show is another one that reminded me. This is Larry and my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl.
Yep.
Yeah. Wayne, Garth, and Garth reminded me of that. I watched that show too.
What's your favorite show of all time?
TV show of all time?
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Show, probably.
All right.
Probably, yeah.
How was the new Bob and David show? I haven't watched
it. It was great.
Yet.
It was great. I got to go to the taping of one of them.
I think you tweeted that you went on a taping.
Greatest moment of my life.
How many episodes of that did they do?
That was the only bummer. They only did like six or something. It was like five or six. Because I remember when I sat down to watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, like getting in there for the 12-hour marathon. And then it was like six episodes. And I was like, you guys.
Were they hour episodes or half hour?
I don't remember.
Probably 30 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes. That's a half
but
hour.
But I hope they make more.
Those guys are just so busy.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But hopefully they make more because they are magical together.
Have you watched Todd Margaret?
Yes, I watched the first season. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the recent ones.
The second season's good too. And then, yeah, I haven't seen the third season.
The first season was really funny. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Are you guys watching Love?
I already watched all that too.
Yep, finished it.
Yeah, I'm on episode 7. Did you like it?
I don't want to say what I thought on record.
Well, you watched it all though.
I did because I was like into. Here's the thing with that because it has Kinane, it has Paul Rust, yeah. Again, it has people I personally know and like
we
very
saw
much.
Kinane's ass though, I didn't care for that.
That was funny. I love Kinane, and he's great in it. He is fantastic.
He's a mess in that show.
But I feel it's just overall, and this isn't to blame on Love. It's just this recent trend of these shows where everyone's a jerk. There's
everyone's
no likable character.
Okay.
And I don't even mean like likable, like pleasant. I mean like they are fundamentally bad human beings.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I'm watching it going like, why would anyone hang out? I just don't feel any connection because I'm like, why would anyone hang out with this person, let alone want to date them? Yeah.
Well, that really goes all the way back to Seinfeld. None of those people are really likable in Seinfeld.
Right. I mean,
they're likable maybe because you're laughing at them. Oh, they're so right. funny. But deep down, you're like, oh, these people are pretty bad people.
Yeah. And I guess I'm kind of, maybe that's a childish complaint, but it's this sort of thing where I'm like, why would I want to watch people I'd never hang out with in real life?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
But I like the show a lot. Kyle, do you like it?
Yeah, I did like it.
Yeah. Paul Rust makes me laugh.
Have you watched Kimmy Schmidt?
That's what I'm saying. They're great. Oh, Kimmy Schmidt, I love. I haven't seen season two yet, but the first season was great. Mm. I loved it.
I'm like fine with it. It's something to watch.
First season, I only watched about three episodes, and then I wasn't really getting into it, but then everyone told me it gets really good like at episode 5 or something. So maybe I got to go back. That's what's great. The stuff is there. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
All right. Here we go. You came up with this topic. It's perfect time. Did I even say? We haven't said it yet.
No.
Garth
We've
Brooks?
Just been doing TV solid instead of rock solid.
This is Garth Brooks. No. April said, why don't we just do songs that have girls' names in the title.
Easy peasy.
I went crazy on this. Every one of my songs is just a one-word girl name.
Whoa!
Like, I didn't do, like, Ruby Tuesday, or I didn't do, like, Barbara Ann, or anything like that. I just, don't look at it, man. No,
that's funny, because we won't have any overlap. There were things I left out, because I was like, oh, yeah. I bet Pat's going to bring this one. But now...
No, I just did one-word names the whole way down.
Wow!
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You took it way more serious. Mine are all... I mean, I could do that for a little bit, but all the rest of them are phrases.
And all of yours are Leslie.
How insane if it was like the most specific episode. It has to be this exact name.
Yep. And I didn't even play Mandy. I could have played Mandy, but I didn't. So since you picked it, I'm going to let you go first. I know you brought a zillion songs. I have 17. I don't know how many we'll get to, but
I mean, I have a zillion. Well, am I supposed to try to go toe for toe with?
Oh, you like when I go first, because then you can go. What are you going to do to like?
I kind of do like that.
Okay, I'm going to go first then.
Okay.
Okay, my first girl song is from Marshall Crenshaw album from 1989. The album's called Good Evening, and he did not write this song, but I love it. It's called Valerie.
That's what I wouldn't call playing to the gallery. I keep waiting, waiting, waiting for Valerie. Oh, Valerie, why don't you put that down, Valerie? You're gonna choke or drown if you don't get up off of this junk food shack. They're gonna take you home in a body bag. So can't stand to see one.
I thought he was gonna rhyme calorie with Valerie.
He did.
How great.
Did
he? Oh,
that's the next line. He goes, "You can't afford to eat one more calorie."
Great.
All right.
But he didn't write it.
Well, and as long as I can, I'll do one word. I'll just do this song. It's just called Angela from Jarvis Cocker.
Does that kind of have a Bob Mould feel to it a little bit?
Yeah, that's his album that Steve Albini produced. Oh, okay. So it was a bit like rockier.
Yeah, that's good.
Than his usual jam.
I like that. How old is Jarvis Cocker now?
He is 50. Hold on. Now I got to look it up. He's not as old as Morrissey. So that means he's
52.
52.
52. Old
I knew
man.
It was like early 50s.
Alrighty, let's go. I'm gonna play a song by the Ramones.
Nice.
And the Ramones, Kyle, what did the Ramones call this girl song? What's this song by the Ramones?
Ramona.
Ramona. They had a sister, Ramona Ramone.
Ramona Ramone. This is from Rocket to Russia. Let's hear it. And they name check it themselves. I remember before I listened to the Ramones, I thought, oh, these, like, I saw them on the album and I just thought, oh, they're just like going to be, this music is going to be so crazy.
Right. Right.
And then when you listen to that old Ramones, it's just like, sounds like sock hop music.
It is. It's so tame.
It is really tame.
But it's funny to think at the time it kind of wasn't though. Like at the time it was kind of like, whoa.
I know. It's weird though. Cause that song is literally... I think my mom would go, hey, that's a good song.
Yeah, it's like the Beatles like with distortion.
Beach Boys,
yeah,
or something.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to break my rule already then. Since you played the Ramones, I'm going to play the song called Debbie Loves Joey because it's about Joey Ramone.
All right. And who's the artist?
Helen Love. It's a really poppy. It's great.
In a school disco, he kissed her for the first time on the last bus home. He said, "You be Debbie Harry, I'll be Joey Ramone." She saw shooting stars flash by bag. The moon exploded in the sky. Her heart flipped when they kissed. Stardust on her lips. Special bat in the dark. Getting pissed in the park. She's in love. She's in love. And when they walked downtown, all the people would stare. They used to laugh at her clothes and the color of her hair. She was 17 and she didn't care. This baby's gonna take her everywhere.
There you go.
So that's about Debbie Harry and Joey Ramone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. I think you play more songs that I've never heard in my life.
Like, is that good or bad?
That's good.
Okay, good.
That's good. Now,
that's what I'm here for, right?
It would be bad if I didn't like them.
Right.
But I think 85% of the time I'm enjoying what I hear when
that's
you play.
That's generous.
It.
I'll take it.
I really do. I mean, you know, once a show I'll go, eh, I don't like that.
Right. No, I'm. Are you kidding? I thought you were going to be like 50% of the time.
No, I think.
I'm pleased with 85.
All right. This is a song by Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
Stevie Nicks had many, many songs with girls' names.
Well, they're all her babies.
Totally.
They're all my babies. I never had children myself, but when I write a song, I feel like I swaddle it and I care for it and I love it. Anyway. This is written by Stevie Nicks and Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers. And I think this song's about Greta Garbo, and this song is called Greta.
Rhinestone collections all the time.
Stevie Nicks twirling.
I wonder what Greta would say. Another lady, another time, another heartbroken state of mind. She dreams of her home outside. She's got a movie star view. Out cries, where will the kings go? Where will the kings go now? She's got her eyes wide open and she's ready.
There's really no chorus. It just kind of that the whole way
drones on.
I seem to like, I don't know how you are, but sometimes the album that an artist released that wasn't successful or that no one likes, that's the one I love.
Right. And I can be the same way too.
This album
or like weird B-sides and stuff.
Yeah, this album by Stevie Nicks called Street Angel, it was a bomb and I love it.
Right. No, I've totally, that happens to me too, where I'll be like, such and such is my favorite song in the album or something. My friends are like, what? That's clearly the worst song. Yeah, totally. Okay. Well, since you played her, and that just reminds me of.
Her name is Stevie Nicks.
You played Stevie Nicks, which reminded me, I should have kicked it off with Prince to begin with. So obviously I'm going to play Darling Nikki. But
that was the one that you, in your example.
Yeah. Cause I was listening. I mean, obviously the day he died, I was listening to Prince all day long. And that was part of the reason I thought of this thing, because I was like, oh yeah, that's an easy one to do. And then, because he wrote Stand Back, technically. So that reminded me of the Stevie Nicks connection. So yeah, Darling Nikki.
I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine.
Good cue.
She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind. Took me to her castle and I just couldn't believe my eyes. She had so many devices, everything that money could buy. She said, sign your name on a dotted line. The lights went out and Nikki started to grind.
You know that this is the song that made Tipper Gore put parental advisory stickers on everything.
Oh, well, it's just about a sharper image, right?
Yeah, that's what started that.
Man, this Prince thing.
It's tough.
I mean,
Prince and Bowie within months of each other is just unspeakable. It's just like 2016 is the year my childhood died.
But like even though we didn't know Bowie had cancer,
Right.
But we find out that he has cancer and it's like, all right, and he's 10 years older than, I mean, that's, if someone said, hey, you have 10 more years left, you'd be like, what? But I mean, Prince is 57. He always looks
great.
So healthy.
Ageless.
Like at least every time I see a picture of Bowie, he's smoking.
Of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prince
was a vegan and like didn't drink and yeah.
And he looks phenomenal. His skin is like so like clear and
totally.
And just, so I was just like, what?
Totally.
Like Pardo sent me a text. He goes, remember on the plane when you just asked me what rock death hit me the most so far? He goes, it has to be this one. And then he didn't tell me who it was. So I like Google and then boom, I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm saying, yeah, that's funny. I woke up to a text from Dave Holmes that just said, I guess we're going to have another dance party. And I was like, what do you mean? And then he was like, didn't you hear the news? And I'm like, dude. And I was just like, you better not be fucking with me right now. And he was like, I'm sorry. And then I was like, I don't want to get out of bed now.
Yeah.
It was just.
And super prolific.
I mean, he.
So much music.
Totally. And he was so. I could talk about this for 500 hours. But yes. And he was so unbelievably talented in such an other world. Like he could play everything. Yeah. He could play everything so effortlessly.
Yeah.
And there was a time, you know that time when he played the residency at the Forum? We went four times. There was a time in my life I went to see Prince once a week.
Yeah.
Every Friday we went to see Prince.
And I saw him at the Staples Center. I didn't go to one of those shows. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't.
Tickets were like $20.
Yeah, but I saw him at the Staples Center and it was amazing.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Those four remain the best shows I've ever seen in my entire life. Yeah. Better than any Morrissey show. Better than, I've seen thousands of concerts in my life and the Prince ones are head and shoulders above anything else I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a genius, prodigy. All
yes.
Those
I mean,
words.
It was like, exactly. No superlatives are too much for him. Mm. And 57 is, it's young across the board, but especially for somebody who was still so vital. Like he wasn't lamed out. It wasn't like, you know, some people when they get, you're like, oh, this guy's just being like propped up on stage and whatever, whatever. It's like, no, he was still.
He has a new album coming out in like a month or something. That was set for release before he passed.
Right. Yeah, I was reading something about how they are going to turn Paisley Park into a Graceland-ish place. I'm totally going.
I said that to PLR the other night. I go, because have you seen like the, it doesn't even
It looks
look,
like a business park.
It looks, yeah, because like there's no windows.
Right.
There's no windows in his house.
Yeah.
It's
one
weird.
Day Prince woke up and said, get that sun out of here.
And I feel like he is one of the last, like him and Bowie are just this, the last of the kind of, it's of the times, you know what I mean? Because now if you're weird, it's almost sort of contrived because you have so many, resources.
Yeah.
And they were weird, and weird is such a catch-all term and a simplistic one, but like at a time where you didn't really, it seemed like they were inventing it as they were going along. And as a little kid who didn't really have any like creative people around me who had, you know, parents who were accountants who like didn't care at all about art or being weird or creative or colorful, seeing them was like, oh, you know, that there are people out there who are interested in this and who are interested in seeing what's out there beyond these four beige walls of my parents' house. And it's just like, it's so weird to think that can't ever happen again.
Maybe it can, but
they were
I
like
know what
weird,
you mean.
But like popular too. So it was like, oh,
they
it's
were
okay
for
to be
everybody.
Weird.
Exactly. Yeah. It was this sort of thing where they were for everyone.
Yeah. And they did so many things in their career that even if people at one point said, that guy's really weird, then Let's Dance comes out and you go, hey, I kind of like that one.
Right.
You know what I mean? They always had stuff that was more accessible than some weirdness,
right.
Even though none of it's really weird.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But it was, they just, and Prince especially, I was talking to friends about this, how much he taught us about sex in a way that's like, again, that's a weird idea that kids now, and the most hardcore of porn is like a click away and just being a kid and like sneaking to watch Purple Rain. Yeah. And it was so dirty and so like, I hope my parents don't catch me watching this movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a time where it was like so innocent that like this guy was like, me and Millie talked about it at length because we're the same age and we grew up together. And he in later years, he had questionable, I mean, he's a Jehovah's Witness. So he said questionable things about gay people and massage or whatever. Like at the time it was like this guy celebrating women and every song, like worshiping women. Of course he wanted to bang all women, but he was like, I'm into women. Women are awesome. I'm gonna have women play guitar in my band. Like, yeah, it was like a crazy thing to see as a little kid.
He always had women like in the bands and everything. The I was watching, you know, a lot of the CNN stuff and they were interviewing people, you know, that live like in his area, you know, and they would go, I just saw him last week riding his bike. I mean, so it was like, I think people thought like he just stayed in and made music, but it sounds like he would go, no, he was at the club this week. He came out, he sits up there.
Oh yeah. I've read things about how he would knock on doors as a Jehovah's Witness. He would knock on doors to be like converting people to, you know, how you have to do that as part of being a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. I go, you know what? Yeah. You have to come in. We have to talk about
I would too. I would be like, oh, okay, please come in and tell me more. Just read the entire Bible to me, please.
Meanwhile, at the meetings, they're like, guys, I don't understand. You're getting the door slammed. Look at Prince.
Prince is nailing it over here, guys.
Yeah.
Mr. Nelson has converted thousands.
Yeah, so I don't know what your problem is.
Yeah, totally.
Mr. Nelson needs more books all the time. You guys come back with sackfuls.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, so it's crazy. And it's just crazy to think of all this. I mean, he wrote all those time songs. Think of all the hits he wrote for all the other people. Yep. I wanted to tweet. There was I was like, think of your favorite song. There's like a 90% chance Prince wrote it for whoever did it.
Yeah, it's nutty.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, from Prince, we're going to jump into someone named Billy Idol. Mm-hmm. This is from 2005. This is a song called Sherry.
Come home, it's a brand new day. Come home, my Sherry. Sherry, run away. Come home, there's a devil to pay. Come home, my Sherry. Sherry, run away. Sherry's on the run, 'cause no one seems to listen. There's something deep inside, heartfelt.
Here comes some cool guitar.
They are not in your shoes, they are not you, poor fools. You know it's a world of confusion, all using and self-abusing. So come home, it's a brand new day. Come home, my Sherry, Sherry, run away. Come home, there's a devil to...
All right, what am I going to play after that? I think I'll try to go back to the one word jams, and I'll just play Polly by a little band called Nirvana. Maybe you've heard of them.
Mm-hmm. This will be the song I don't like.
What? How do you not have Nevermind?
I'm sure it's in here somewhere.
Polly wants a cracker. Think I should get off her first. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Isn't me having seed? Let me clip dirty wings. Let me take a ride. Cut yourself. Want some help? Please myself. Got some rope? Haven't told. Promise you. Haven't true. Let me take a ride. Cut yourself. Want some help? Please myself.
You get it.
I'm not a Nirvana fan.
Really?
I don't know why.
But I just feel like Nevermind's one of those records that everybody just has.
I know.
You know?
Have you watched Soaked in Bleach?
Yes.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Have you watched that?
No. Is that a new Netflix show?
No, it's
kidding.
It is a documentary on Netflix.
Oh, it is on Netflix. Yeah. Okay.
It's just about his death and how like just shady and like crazy and
she
weird.
She did it. Yeah. She did it.
Yeah.
You think Courtney's the...
I think she did it. I've seen multiple, like, it's funny the more they come out, like Kurt and Courtney, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. And then there was like whatever in between those two, and I'm like, well, okay. And then I watched that, and I'm like, yo, she did it.
That one's like, it's crazy how many like weird, like just sciencey things that they do in that one, especially because every other one's like, eh, this is handwriting looks similar.
Right.
But that one, this one was like the way he's holding the gun. There's no way.
Yes.
Like
the private investigator in like, that one is the, really convincing.
The way, like something whenever he fires, whenever someone fired the gun, the way he's holding it, the shell would eject this way, but it's laying over on the other
side. Right. And plus they were even saying that he had so much heroin in his system that he wouldn't have been, like his hands, the motor function, they were like, he wouldn't have been able to pull a trigger on a shotgun.
Yeah, they basically said like he had three times the amount of heroin in his system that it would take a normal person to OD.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like, not only would he have just probably died from that, but like he wouldn't have been able to physically hold a gun up in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heroin must be great, right? Because people love it.
I've heard things.
People love it. They love the H, man.
Yeah. Love that horse.
Carried around in a little kit.
I am going to try it when I'm like 80. When I'm 80, I'm going to do like all the drugs.
Why not?
For sure, because then it's like, I don't have a life ahead of me to waste.
Yeah.
No, I'm dead serious.
Bring me some H.
I mean, I'll have to do it gradually. I mean, when I've never had any drink, so it's like, I'll get drunk one night, see how that goes.
Next night, smoke.
Then, you know, whatever, smoke weed.
Yeah.
Crack, heroin, coke. No. I mean, I'll probably die on like day three.
In that order?
Whatever, I'll try to figure out the order of like, you know, which is the most hardcore.
Just have someone make like a Wheel of Fortune wheel.
Yeah.
And you just spin it.
No joke. Because it's like, I'm sure they're great and it would be a nice feeling to experience, but I want to wait so I'm not ruining my life.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I make it to 80, let's party, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Grandma was so cute.
You need a shirt that says that. If I make it to 80, let's party.
Let's party. At that point, all bets are off. Give me all the horse and the crack you got.
Oh, she loves window pane. Grandma did some window paint. She did some crank.
Just huff paint. Everything.
Totally. Oh, huffing is. Totally. I'll drop
huffing
acid.
Is the best.
Shrooms. Let's do it.
Let's go way back to 1963. This is the Four Seasons. This is, and wait to hear how crazy high their voice is. This is called Marlena.
Marlena. Marlena.
That's ridiculous.
Frankie Valli, right?
Yeah. Always loved the Four Seasons.
Speaking of someone they just prop up on stage, you know?
Oh, yeah. Pardo and I saw him 2 years ago. He's 80, and he lip syncs 95% of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, because he can't hit that note anymore.
But what's funny is he doesn't even really try to even look like he's really lip syncing. It's such a lazy. He'd be like, put that back on. I'll see if I can lip sync the way he would.
Okay. This is great for a podcast.
Yeah. Will you?
Great visual.
So he holds the mic like this.
Okay. Oh, he's got a Bob Barker mic?
Yeah.
No, he like barely opens his mouth. No.
Yeah. It's because all the old people there can't see or hear.
Right, so they can't tell that his mouth isn't moving.
He opened the show singing Grease. Grease is the word.
Right.
And like he comes out and Pardo and I look at each other like, man, wow, unbelievable.
Oh, you didn't realize.
Like, no. Then like 30 seconds later, we give each other a crass look. Like, wait a minute. And we're like, singing a lick of this.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, maybe it's just this song. That's a hard song to sing at any age. No, nothing.
What a bummer.
And then at one point, a guy right behind us turns to his wife and goes, Frankie still got it. I'm like, oh, he does not have it.
Because he
I would have rather him come out and sang with the voice he has now.
Right.
Or given all of us.
Well, you say that. You say that, but maybe not. Like, what if he'd have done that and you were like, oh, gross.
No, it's go. He's 80. But we met him after the show. You know, he signed our stuff.
Right.
You know, I have an album signed. And, you know, we were like, great show, Frankie. And he's like, thanks. I'm like, how can you even say thanks?
Right. Thanks.
You didn't even sing.
You just stood up there.
Looks great.
Yeah, but
for
it's
80,
like
though.
Maybe 80. That's an achievement, standing on stage for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
They nailed his boots to the floor.
Yeah. And he's like,
Michael Jackson style.
He was really funny between songs, too, when he would talk. He was really funny. He goes, I'm going to slow it down a little bit now because I'm old. You know, stuff like
that.
Right. Hey. All right. You're up. Go ahead.
Well.
Got any doo-wop for me?
It's not really doo-wop, but I'll play Elvis Presley for you.
That's perfect.
And this is, it's Marie's The Name is Latest Flame. And it's also my middle name.
April Marie.
There you go. Boom.
A very old friend came by today, 'cause he was telling everyone in town of the love that he just found, and Marie's the name of his latest flame. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere, and Marie's the name of his latest flame. Though I smile, the tears
there you go.
That's nice. What year is that from?
The 50s. But I also like, another thing I liked as a kid is that Elvis was so into chicks with black hair and always like made mention of that. I think he even changed that lyric. It was supposed to be something else. But that always made me feel better as a kid growing up looking like Wednesday Addams. That I was like, this guy's into
it. Elvis likes it.
Elvis likes it.
When you were, you're April Marie Richardson.
Yes.
When you were married for a time, did you take your husband's last name for that time?
I did indeed.
Can you want to tell us what that last name is?
I don't, for a ridiculous reason. Okay. That is true. All right. And that's because he never uses it. He never, he uses a fake last name on the internet.
Well, how bad is this name? Finkelstein.
It's not bad. He just is, he runs a record, his own record label, and it was okay. always this fake last name that he used.
Okay.
And so, like, nobody knows his real last name.
But you didn't take the fake last name. You really
No, I took his real last name.
And then as soon as those papers were signed, Richardson's back.
Richardson was back.
All right.
I don't think I'll ever change my name again if I get married.
Well, you can't now. You're established as April Richardson.
Sure, but it's more about just, like, how annoying that was. To change it back and everything, and how it's kind of meaningless. Did your wife no. use your last name?
No. She's Pilar Alessandra.
Yeah, it's just kind of a meaningless gesture. I think. I don't think it means you love anybody any less if you don't take their name. Although, do your kids have hyphenated last names? Then?
No. They're just my real last name, which is Dodson.
Right.
Francis is my middle name.
You know what's really funny is somebody follows me on Instagram. And their username is Pat Dodson.
That's weird.
And every time I see it, I'm like, I think it's you.
No, it's not me.
And I'm like, when did Pat get Instagram?
Nope.
But I don't think. I think when I got, I was so young when I got married, I thought that was a, like, if you, I don't do this, he's not going to think I love him. But right. now I'm like, no, nobody cares what your last name is. No. That doesn't mean anything.
Not at all. So I agree with you. So don't,
cool.
you're Richardson for life.
I guess, which is also kind of meaningless because that's my real dad's last name that I didn't even know. But I like it better. My stepdad, when I was a kid, wanted to adopt me and was like, I want you to have my name. And I was like, no, thank you. I was just like, I'll just keep this one.
Is his name funny?
You won't believe what his last name is.
Oh, that you can you tell Which, us?
I'll tell you. Edit this out because I don't want people. I talk about my mom all the time.
Just tell us later.
Okay.
That way I won't have to edit.
Yeah. All right.
So far, we haven't edited anything.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right. This is the next song is by The Who. This is originally this song was called in its working form. It was called Teresa. Pete Townsend wrote it about actress Teresa.
Mother?
No. actress Teresa Russell. He met her at a party, and even though she was married or engaged to someone, he was all cocained out of his mind. He just fell head over heels for her. So he wrote a song called Teresa, professing his love for her.
And now it's called Russell.
Did it work? Did she dump her?
I don't know that. No, because then when they recorded it, they recorded it under the new title, Athena.
Oh.
And I'm reading Roger Daltrey hates this song. How do you record it though?
They probably think, you know what? Just let him do it. No one will like this song, whatever. Yeah.
And Roger sings it. Roger sings it. So here, I love it. It's called Athena. I love this song.
Athena. I had no idea how much I'd need her. In peaceful times, I'd hold her close and I'd feed her. When I think my guess was wrong, but I think I get along. She's just a girl, she's a boy. Athena, all I ever wanna do is please her. My life has been so settled and she's the reason. Just one word from her and my troubles are long gone.
It says it was the first single off this album. I don't know how that happens either. Roger doesn't like it. It says on the tour for this album, they only played Athena 10 times on the tour, and they've never played it again since. And that was
because that's how much he hates it?
That's how much they must, neither one likes it now. And that was in 1982. So if you go to see The Who and you want to hear Athena, that's not going to happen.
You're out of luck.
You're done. So do you have another like Greek goddess type name on there?
I don't, but the sound of that one was making me want to play this song. This is called Happy as Annie. By a band called Lyric in Love. I don't know if you're going to like this one or not, but
we'll
it was, it's a little like,
what's it called? Sorry, Happy as Annie?
Happy as Annie.
By warm summer breeze, their blue tits flocking. stolen to a burnt orange field, which wants a screen. Lost his zeal to pass and dance and sing around, which is not condoned in the centre of town. Children, please beware, I'm choked with fear. Oh, children, please beware, I'm choked with fear. Oh, children, please beware, I'm choked with fear. Children, please beware, I'm choked with fear.
There you go.
That's like country ska.
Kinda. They only put out one album, I think, and it's rad, and I have it, and it's fun, but it's kind of nuts like that.
Yeah. Is the whole album like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
I didn't mind hearing that. I don't know if I'd like a whole album of that in the car while I'm driving.
Right.
Does that get a spin, or were you just like, oh my God, I found this. I haven't listened to this for the longest time.
No, it does. That particular song, my friend Dave put on a mixtape for me ages ago, and I bought the album based off that. So I was like, oh, this song's great. And I bought the album, and yeah, it's a pretty good album. I mean, like, I don't listen to it every single day, but I like it.
Yeah. You brought up Dave Holmes earlier. He's going to be doing the show. I got an advanced copy of his book. It's great.
He is my favorite writer. Like, yeah. I'm not joking. Every time that he tweets anything that he writes for Esquire or anything, mm-hmm. I read it immediately.
Have you read any of the book yet?
No, I only read, there was one sample chapter that he posted mm-hmm. on Esquire, and it was amazing. And he and I, it's so funny because I think he's only a handful of years older than me, I think, but yeah. We have such parallels. Like, there's so many things that he's written about music and how it affected him, or particular songs that affected him. And I email him and be like, did you live inside my brain? Like, this is exactly the same experience I had.
Yeah.
Dave's, yeah. He's great.
He's a great dude. I really like Dave a lot.
Yeah.
And I also like Dave as much as I like Dave. I love Rick Springfield, and they're both good looking dudes.
Both great friends of yours.
Dave, you know, Dave Holmes, he's charismatic.
He's super charismatic. Like he didn't make me the mixtape. The person I was, the Dave that made me the mixtape, by the way, was Dave from the Beautiful South. Haven't we talked about them?
Yeah, we've talked about, man, yeah. Probably ad nauseum, I think, yes. Is the word.
That's who it was, though, not Dave Holmes.
But Dave Holmes lights up a room.
He it super does.
Yeah.
And he comes to all of our dance party. We had the best time at the Prince dance party. You guys should have come.
What was, whatever night it was, seriously, it was a night I could not make it.
That sounds believable. Whatever night it was, I was definitely busy.
What night was it? Because I was honestly going to stop by.
It was on Sunday. That was the only night that we could get Bar Lubitsch. We're going to do another one. Chip and I, we're going to do like a Prince and Bowie night.
Here's what Pardo always...
Just play nothing but those two dudes.
Pardo always says, look, I can't come because I have that thing.
Yeah. I invited him to, of course. He didn't come.
He's never going to go to anything.
I know.
He's never going to go. I saw him like...
And then he makes fun of me for inviting him. And I'm like, okay. I'm a nice person.
Why? I don't want to go to that.
Yeah. Or makes fun of me for even having a thing. And I'm like, you're right. I'm a loser.
We were together for 3 days in Brooklyn for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then the following week, we went to see Iron Maiden. And then I told people, I go, and now Jimmy and I will not do another thing for years. For years.
Yeah.
No, we had a great time at both events. It was so cool. All right. Rick Springfield. This is from Success Hasn't Spoiled Me Yet. I love this song. Crank it up. It's called Christina.
Yeah.
A question for you, Kyle. Are we going to go see? Are we seeing Rooney? What's going on with our Rooney tickets?
Yeah, double check. I checked the other week and they didn't get back to me. Let me
come on, Rooney.
I have a funny Rick Springfield thing. Have you ever watched the Eric Andre show on Adult Swim?
Yes, it's so great.
I have not watched that.
It's like kind of like a.
I'm not an adult, nor like can I swim.
It's like a fake
insane talk show.
Like they'll bring guests on and they won't know. Like they'll have like Lauren from The Hills. Is that who it was?
Yeah,
that girl.
Lauren Conrad?
Yeah, and they didn't tell her anything about this. Like, oh, yeah, you're going to be a talk show. And she's like, oh, okay, great. And then he comes out and he just does like crazy things.
He like gets naked and
he like tries to like fuck with them basically. Okay. Like yeah. He had a
you
bunch
know
of,
Eric Andre, right?
I think so. Yeah,
he had a
yeah.
bunch of oatmeal in his mouth and then he pretends to throw it up on the desk and she's like, and then he just like slurps it back
oh
in.
Oh my god,
just stuff like that.
So was Rick Springfield on?
There's an episode where they're like Rick Springfield's here and they bring him out and he's like on a dolly, like tied up, and he has duct tape on his mouth, and they pull it off, and he's just yelling, "Help! Help!" And they just put the duct tape on and wheel him back. And
well,
then later,
he must have got it.
Yeah, he got it. But okay. Then later, they put him in front of the microphone, and he's just screaming, and the band's playing, and like it's super
Eric Andre
funny.
Is out of his mind in like the best way. He'll just yeah. do anything.
Well, I have to
there's,
watch.
There's
this
a
now.
Prank where he's on the subway, and he has a bunch of bees. Mm-hmm. He's like in a beekeeper okay. outfit. And then the subway tilts and he just goes, no, and like just knocks it over and everyone's running around. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
Is that one of these 15-minute Adult Swim shows?
No, I think it's 30
like,
minutes.
Yeah, it's like 22
Sometimes
minutes.
Sometimes the shows are 15 minutes and mm-hmm. that confuses yeah. me a little bit.
No, mm-hmm. I think this one's like an actual show.
All right.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
All right.
All right. With your rock vibes, I think I'm going to play Guided by Voices.
All right.
And this is called The Best of Jill Hives. So I wonder if Jill Hives is a real lady.
I don't know.
This is for you, Miss Hives.
Oh, here we go.
I wonder if she has hives. I love bass.
I love the way you said that. I love bass. Made out of weathered and tumble, clad in gladstone, watch and go, swimming beneath the microscope. Hello, lonely, less the nation. This is a skip to all or none. Wooden soldiers fall upon. Try to find what makes a tick while they're finding out what makes them sick. I don't know where you find your nerve. I don't know how you choose your there you go.
It doesn't seem like there's any information.
There's that, whether or not Jill it's Hives, a real
it's just,
lady.
It's just all guided by voices.
Mm. Hmm.
Interesting.
You're going to be bummed out that you played that Elvis Presley song when you hear what I'm going to play next.
Okay. What?
So, because I'm switching the order up here, Kyle, mm-hmm. I want you to grab that Roy Orbison song.
Okay.
Out of all the songs on my list, I think this is my favorite song on this list.
Okay.
I love this song. The woman's
Why
name.
Is it going to bum me out?
Because you could have played, because I feel like this would have been a good, no, it's not going to, but the song's not going to bum
oh,
me
okay,
out.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, Roy Orbison and Elvis
oh,
Presley.
Oh, right, doing it back to back. Sure, sure, sure.
But I love this song so much. The woman's name is Claudette. And this is the song on this list that I could just listen to on a loop.
So, I have read, by the way, multiple places that he dyed his hair black so that he would look more like Roy Orbison.
Elvis dyed his hair black.
Yeah, because after seeing Roy Orbison and being like, that guy looks cool.
Boy, I don't know if Roy Orbison looked cool.
Or in Elvis Presley, you did.
Why didn't Elvis also punch himself in the face a couple times if he loved Roy Orbison so
much? I mean, I don't think he wanted to go method.
Okay.
But.
All right, let's hear Roy sing Claudette.
Well, I got a brand new baby and I feel so good. She loves me even better than I thought she would. I'm on my way to her house and I'm blown out of breath. When I see her tonight, I'm gonna squeeze it to death. Claudette, pretty little pet, Claudette. Never make me fret, Claudette. She's the greatest little girl that I've ever met. Get the best love that I'll ever get from Claudette. Whoa, whoa, Claudette.
The one line is, I'm plumb out of breath.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's something that like my parents would say.
My wife loves Chris Isaak, but does not like when I play Roy Orbison. I'm like, how can you? This is if you ask.
She don't want to bang Roy Orbison.
No, no one wants to.
I mean, I get it. I feel her on this,
but
for
like,
sure.
I bet if you ask Chris Isaak, hey, name your three top influences. I bet one of them is Roy Orbison.
Absolutely, but I mean, as a lady, I get it because Chris Isaak could still get it.
first of all, I did not say which one of these guys do you want to bang.
Right, but I'm getting in your wife's head on this one and being like, I get it in the way that she wants to hear the guy she wants to French singing to her. Other than the other dude.
Well,
it makes perfect sense to me.
I'm understanding a little bit of how you listen to music.
Yep, makes perfect sense to me.
I'm going to now imagine that every guy song you play tonight is, oh, that's the guy she wants to French.
Well, I was about to play Elton John, so calm down on that theory.
Yeah.
Well,
he was married at a time.
Yeah. One of my favorite things he's ever said is there was some interview where the interviewer, for some reason, asked, what's the strangest thing you've ever put in your mouth? And he said, a clitoris.
Whoa. Hey, Elton.
That's amazing.
That's
amazing. But also, why is that an interview question?
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's like one of those stupid websites where five quick questions and then
right.
That's one of them. That's not a legit interview.
But what was a great 60, answer.
Was that on 60
Minutes? Yes, it was. It was Barbara Walters asked him.
Now, what was the strangest thing?
Totally. I'll play because I got the Smiths and Morrissey on here.
No. You got both of them on this list?
Both.
What?
S'Morrissey.
But I'll go ahead and play
S'Morrissey.
Amy.
Did you hear that? He mashed them up.
S'Morrissey.
S'Morrissey.
That's actually a donut at Donut Friend.
Oh, is
that's
it?
Like, tastes like s'mores, and it's called the S'Morrissey.
Oh, it tastes like Morrissey.
Tastes like, I wish. No, they, have you ever been to Donut Friend?
Yeah.
It's so rad. But yeah, it's, they awesome. Have a S'Morrissey donut.
Maybe I have seen that there.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll play Amy by Elton John.
Right.
And then maybe next time
you
go back to
you
back.
You played this song on our Elton John episode.
Did I?
Yeah, but let's hear it again.
No, that's not then. I wondered if I did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, then I'll go to the Smiths.
All right.
And I'll play Sheila Take a Bow.
Okay.
I wish
you can drop it in the
Amy.
Middle.
I know. I wanted to hear Amy again.
Oh, you guys have already heard it.
Download it, pricks.
Pricks.
Let me ask you a question.
That's the Smiths.
Because you're a diehard Morrissey fan.
Yes.
Do you unconditionally love him, or does he sometimes release an album where you're like, I don't know?
No, it's not unconditional. Okay. There are definitely songs in recent years where I'm like, this is whack.
Yeah.
I mean, I will always go see him.
Yeah.
But no, it's not blind adoration. Right. I don't think that's healthy for any.
I don't think it is either.
There are people who don't do good stuff, and yeah.
Yeah.
But I still buy everything.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite band is Cheap Trick, and they just had a new album out April 1st, and it's...
It's not good? The whole thing is not good?
It's got 11 songs on it. Japanese imports got 13.
Sure.
Which I have. I like about 5.
I feel that way about actually World Peace Is None of Your Business is the latest Morrissey album, and I'm with you. There's just about 5 songs on there.
And
I'm
even
like,
those songs aren't like killer. Like, I'm not like, I love these 5. I'm just like, I can listen to these 5.
That's
it's,
funny.
It's disappointing.
If those 5 were, those 5, because I listened to it with you a little bit in my own, but like those 5 are like as good as filler songs on the better albums.
Yeah. Like there's no...
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel Morrissey's latest album, it's crazy. There's one song on there called Istanbul that I think is the best song he's written in 10 years. Where I'm like, whoa! And then the rest of it, I'm with you. I'm like...
Since Constantinople.
Yes. But I feel like, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, I have albums like that too by artists where I'm like, I don't like this album at all, but this one song on here is phenomenal.
Yeah.
If only they would have worked more around this area.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to play April's Game now. What was the song that she just played?
Sheila Take a Bow.
Right, so I'm going to play a song called Sheila by Aerosmith. This is from 1985's Done With Mirrors.
That's when they started getting ugly.
This is this is when the group got back together, the original members, and this album kind of sounds like a bunch of demos that aren't quite fleshed out, but is Sheila.
Sheila! Yeah.
I don't play a lot of. I like Aerosmith. I just don't play them much on the show. So I
all of their album covers are an eye roll.
Oh, are you looking at this one?
Yeah, done with mirrors, and so it's backwards.
Yeah, it's a bad album cover. It is a bad one.
Well, I'm gonna.
Sometimes trucks fuck on their albums. A couple of trucks fucking.
Sometimes an udder is pierced.
I remember that.
Get
one,
a grip.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna just. This isn't in the same vibe as that, but I'm just gonna play the Morrissey song I brought. It's called "When Last I Spoke to Carol."
Carol, that's not a name that should ever be in a song.
Carol.
Carol.
Yes.
Some Esteban guitar.
Totally.
When last I spoke to Carol, I said, I can't pretend it gets easier. She said, I've hung on, I have edged along this narrow ledge since the day I was born.
Yeah.
What you're not seeing is April full on Annie singing it, lip syncing it.
To the rescue, no one ever comes. That's a lyric in the song, and it's so right.
Are you like me, though? You'd rather have a bad Morrissey album than no Morrissey album?
No, because I kind of.
You think you should take a little more time?
It's funny that we're talking about this because when I had dinner with Tony Visconti last night, he was telling me some Morrissey stories because he produced the record that song's on, by the way. And, or no, did he? That's from Years of Refusal. No, he didn't. He produced Ringleader of the Tormentors. But anyway, because we were talking about that and it's like, I wouldn't mind him retiring. I'm not a person.
Retire from making music or
kind of everything in a way, because I'm not the kind of person that wants to see. You know, I'm not into the Rolling Stones touring into oblivion. I'm not a person that wants to see like an 85-year-old propped up on stage. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of not into that. I feel like it depends on who you are, really. I mean, for Bob Dylan, it makes sense because he's never been a kind of stylish. His whole thing is not, it's all substance, no style. So it's like, if you've got 90-year-old Bob Dylan up there playing a guitar, you're like, okay. But somebody like Morrissey, whose thing is kind of vain and a little bit like, mm-hmm. I'm a stylish, you know, dandy fop mixed in with the music. To me, that's like, well, maybe you should retire. Yeah. I don't really know if I want to see a 75-year-old Morrissey.
Is that his new album, Stylish Dandy Fop?
Stylish Dandy Fop. I just think that's all part of an entire package. And it's not that I don't want to hear him sing anymore, but there's a sort of like, maybe just preserve what you've done.
I wonder what a 70-year-old Sting is going to look like, because that guy still looks
amazing.
Phenomenal.
I feel like there are people that can do that, but overall,
like Springsteen looks great.
He looks unbelievable.
And I just saw
where I'm like, Fountain of Youth shit going on here? Like, what is happening?
And I just
saw
him.
He killed Prince and he's bathing in his blood.
Seriously. I mean, he looks so young and unchanged that it's almost creepy.
I mean, I just saw him in March and they hit the stage and played for 3.5 hours and then left the stage. No fake encore or anything.
Right.
But yeah, 35 songs.
How old is Springsteen?
66.
66. Yeah, and he's still like ripped. Again, I feel terrible. I don't want to give anybody any sort of age limit. I'm not a person who values youth over talent or any crazy shit like that. Yeah. Hey, I'm an old hag. I'll be 37 on Sunday. I mean, like, I'm not trying to tell people to quit when they get too old. But I just feel like for certain people, there's no shame in just being like, I've done what I've come to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
I get it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's keeping them alive, though.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people retire, then they're like, it's over.
Right. Yes. And I don't want to say this about, I think Madonna, speaking of, Madonna looks amazing. I think Madonna looks amazing. Yeah. And I would never want to make her say out loud, like, Madonna should retire because she's old. Like, It's not that. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's because
Isolate that. We'll just
no,
that in.
I love her and she shouldn't. I'm just saying.
She just needs to play a better set list.
I guess my thing with Morrissey is I'm like, I'm so personally invested in that dude that I'm like, don't get lamed out, please.
Do you think he'd be one of those dudes that like, if he did retire, he might record one or two songs a year and like maybe release it online or something like that? Or no?
No, he's so adamantly anti doing that.
Oh, okay.
Because he's such an old school dude that he's like obsessed with record labels and getting signed to a record label like that makes any difference in this day and age.
Yeah.
He will never embrace the internet. And prior to this fiction novel that he released, my dream was like, oh, he'll retire and just be a writer. And now I'm like, oh, maybe don't do that either, dude. Don't write any more fiction, at least.
Maybe you should do like poems or something.
I agree. Fully, I agree. But his fiction novel was like atrocious. So I'm like, I don't know, man.
What was it about? What was the premise?
Dandy Fops.
You guys don't even know. It was this weird black magic-y kind of... It was about this team... It was about this relay team.
Read Wizard Fiction.
Well, of course I read this. I mean, like, I got it at, like, midnight when it was released. It was about a team of relay racers, like, four dudes on a relay team who they're practicing in the woods, and they run into, like, this demon, and they accidentally kill him, and then the demon, like, haunts them and makes all of their life, like, makes one of their moms die, makes one of their girlfriends leave. Like, it was, like, this weird... It was so terrible, though. It was meant to take place in Boston in the 1970s, and every character talked like Morrissey. Wow. Every character talked about like Margaret Thatcher and stuff, where I'm like, nobody in Boston in the 70s cares about this.
Sounds like a great book.
It was so bad, and it made me cry. It was so bad, because I'm like, Morrissey, what are you doing? You're so much smarter than this.
What's it called?
List of the Lost.
Guys, get List of the Lost.
It had a really cool cover, though.
Man Running.
But his autobiography was amazing.
Did he have help writing it? Was it like...
No.
Morrissey plus blah, blah.
No, not at all. And you can tell when you're reading it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he's a person where he's so much himself and everything he writes or says sounds so Morrissey-esque mm-hmm. that it doesn't translate. You can't write fictional characters because they're going to talk like you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, write a book of essays. Write, you know, another things about your autobiography that you didn't put in there. Like... Something like that.
Yeah, there's got to be stuff.
No more fiction. Unless the fiction is set in England in the 70s yeah. and the characters are like you.
Guys, List of the Lost came out last September and you can now get it for $4.99 on Amazon. Oh,
right. Save your money.
Go to rocksolidpodcast.com. Use our Amazon link.
Yes.
We're an Amazon affiliate, and we'll get a little kickback from that.
And get a shitty book.
Yay! With a cool cover.
I'm going to play, you talked about Tony V, is what you call him. I call him Tony Visconti.
Yeah.
This is a band he produced, although he did not produce this song. This is a song written by Bob Seger and then recorded by Thin Lizzy. This is Rosalie.
Proper mediator, a smoother operator you will never see.
All right. I always do feel like I repeat myself. Apologies. I know I talk about Morrissey all the time, but you know, if I had anything else going on in my life, I'd talk about that.
Everyone talks about what they're passionate about on the show.
Okay, good.
People are sick of me saying the two words, Cheap Trick.
Well, I might have played this song before, but I'm going to play the B-52s.
All right.
And you can drop the needle into this because it's kind of a long jam, but this is Planet Claire. I mean, duh.
You sounded like Owen Wilson when you said that.
I did?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Planet Claire.
Planet Claire.
Thank you.
jump ahead a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, it has a really long intro.
I just have a feeling at some point, all of a sudden, it's going to go, Planet Claire! Planet Claire! Claire! Is this an instrumental?
No. You've never heard Planet Claire?
We're,
I don't think so.
We're 3.5 minutes in.
No, in the middle. Well, it goes in and out.
For one of the 7 stars that shine after 3:30 in the morning. I'm saying that. She came from Planet Claire.
Love the B-52s. Love them.
I don't love them, but I did see them. I did see them live once.
Did you go to that show at the Bowl where they played with like Human League?
No. I saw them at the Universal Amphitheater.
Oh, you mean Harry Potter World?
No. with the Pretenders. And the Pretenders opened
for the B-52s.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting.
That's how they did it.
Maybe
they were flip-flopping every night and I saw
right.
them. The, but I don't think they were, to be honest. I don't think they were.
Well, Love Shack was a huge hit. Maybe that was like a bigger hit than anything the Pretenders put out.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big hit. What was another hit of that era?
That album, it was like Love Shack, Deadbeat Club.
Rock Lobster.
No, Rock Lobster was well before it. What else is on that album that was a huge hit? Cosmic Thing? Cosmic Thing is the album that it's on. Yeah. But
I was looking up what the singles were.
Love Shack, Dry County, Deadbeat Club, I think was the other hit from that.
I mean, Love Shack was gigantic.
Rome
was the other big hit. That's right. Huge. Totally.
Channel Z.
That album's awesome.
When I sing Rome, I always sing Rome, Nipsey Russell. That's what I sing. Because I don't know the real words. I've asked you this before. I know I have, but I'm asking you again.
Okay.
You still buy CDs.
Yes.
You love the physicality of CDs.
I love the physicality of CDs.
Love it.
Yes.
Go, if you're looking for stuff, go to a website, gohastings.com.
Okay.
I found so much stuff. Like
rare stuff?
Well, like I was looking for like some Chris Isaak might be coming on the show. So I was looking for some.
I'm sorry. Way to bury the lead. What are you talking about?
GoHastings.com.
No, great. That sounds great. Tell me more about Chris Isaak.
It says he might come on the show. It's not a definite or anything because he's got a tour happening and then it'll be after that.
Who gets to be the co-host on that one? April Richardson?
It'll be...
Is he married?
No, he's not married.
So again, who gets to be the co-host on that one? April Richardson?
I feel like I could handle that myself.
I think you might need help.
I think I'm saving you for if I get Martin Fry on the show.
Yeah, but what?
Hello. Hi.
Okay.
What?
How?
Which one would
because
you...
Because he plays at the Canyon Club all the time, or are they just like in... I've seen them there twice.
How do you feel about Lexicon of Love 2 coming out?
Dude, could you seriously get Martin Fry?
Why not?
Because does he live here? He lives in Sheffield still, doesn't he?
Wait till he comes to town.
I want to... Okay, well, I don't want to bang Martin Fry, though.
All right.
Chris Isaak... Different story.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about Lexicon of Love 2 coming out?
What is it? Is it like an actual new album of new material?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
You didn't?
No.
Yeah, it's like a sequel albums are weird, but it's a sequel album. It's a...
Ooh, that's tough because Lexicon of Love is like so good. It's like one of the best albums of the 80s.
Pull up the cover just so you can show her the Lexicon of Love.
Yeah, let me look this up. But anyway, yes, I will come hang out with Martin Fry.
Okay, cool. And Chris, and you're throwing your
and
throwing,
Chris Isaak definitely.
And you're throwing your panties in the ring.
Wow, you're right. It comes out on May 22nd.
Yeah. Oh, you see the cover? Do you see the cover of the album?
No, I can't.
No. I'm just reading an article about it now.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have the cover. It looks like Chris Hemsworth is on the cover of this CD.
Oh yeah, it does look like that.
This is tough.
He's too skinny to be Chris Hemsworth.
Show her this.
Oh, it looks just like it's like.
And that's Martin Fry in the background, the guy, the detective or whatever.
Oh, I like it.
Isn't it cool? I love that the album cover is like similar to the
other
album
cover. To the first one.
Yeah.
It's the other. It's the other side of the hallway.
Oh, it's the other side of the hallway.
Or the wherever they're at. Yeah, because like, look, there's like a curtain here.
Yeah,
and all this, but then that's neat. It's like a takeoff of there, and that's the other
well, they're
side.
They're doing their job with the graphics.
And I will say, he still. You were talking about like Frankie Valli having to lip sync. Like they still sound great. Like I've seen them. Geez, I've seen ABC probably like 5 times now, and he still sounds amazing.
He still wear like a nice suit.
Yes, he looks suave as hell. For sure.
He's. I remember for a time I would get him confused with, who's the guy who sings?
Tony Hadley?
No, the Slave to Love guy.
Oh.
What's his name?
I think, because most people, whenever I talk about ABC, people think I'm talking about Spandau Ballet.
No. Oh, God, who am I thinking of? This is good for a music podcast. What I'm talking about.
I feel like Martin Fry is still kind of youngish, because when the Lexicon of Love came out, he was like Brian 21.
Ferry. Brian Ferry.
Yes.
Those guys are all
kind of. You get them mixed up.
From the same cloth.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like suave suit wearing dudes. Yeah. For sure. Oh, he's 58. He's 58. Why did I think he was. I guess Lexicon of Love came out earlier than I thought, because I just remember reading about how he was like 21 when he wrote that album.
He should be dead. Prince died.
Oh,
57.
Whoa. Whoa.
Edit that out. I forget who played it. I just played Rosalie.
Yes.
So it's your turn.
You played Rosalie by who?
By Thin Lizzy.
All right.
Shut up, Kyle.
Whoa. Getting aggro here.
I love anger for no reason.
All right. Well, I'm going to play this because I'm going to go see them next month at the Bowl 3 nights. This is The Cure, and this is Charlotte.
You're going all 3 nights?
Charlotte sometimes. Yeah, I think I am.
Wait, what do you mean? You don't have your ticket? Oh, hold on.
I StubHub it usually day before. I never buy tickets in advance.
You don't need to, really.
The Cure.
That reminds me of something that would be on like Daria. They're like, are you Charlotte? And she'd be like, sometimes.
Hey. It was after a book, I think. I think there's an actual book called Charlotte Sometimes, and that's what the song's about.
What if it's a kid's book, like Amelia Bedelia?
I think it might be. Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, back to this Lexicon of Love for a second.
Yes.
I know the hits off the first album, obviously, because they're all over MTV.
Right.
But I am so excited for this Lexicon of Love 2 that I'm actually going to buy both of them and then listen to them the same day,
like in
back
the full.
Back.
Actually, that's a good idea. Yeah. I'll probably do the
I'm
same.
Do that because, and again, I've never heard Lexicon of Love I've never heard
Lexicon of Love.
Yeah, but
I love the album called Lexicon.
The crazy
of
thing about that album, though, is I know Poison Arrow and all the like the hits were everywhere, but
you
that
like,
start to finish, it all could have been singles. Every song on the album's great.
Yeah, I think, who is it? I think it's a friend of the show, P.F. Wilson, loves that album too.
It's so good.
Murray just walked in.
Oh, you mean Wilson?
Yeah, Poof Wilson. I'm Poof Dotson.
Poof. So how many more songs
we'll
do
play,
we?
We'll play a couple more and then okay. We'll wrap it up. Hello, Murray.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, April, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm going to play Kyle. Who's my mom? Who's your grandmother?
Oh, Lucinda.
Lucinda. But she's Lucy, but her real name's Lucinda. And I found a song. This is by Jesse Malin. He was in D-Generation. And this is from an amazing album called Glitter in the Gutter. And this is Lucinda. Time.
I've got a message. Or as I was told, someone's waiting. And California seems so cold. Lucinda, Lucinda, a child over water.
cool. Lucinda.
She'd be like, I don't like that
song. That's a little bit too heavy for me.
Again, I like Neil Diamond.
And Paul Anka.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to make sure, again, I don't repeat myself. All right, I'm going to play the Blue Tones. This is a song called Emily's Pine. But you can
played this before.
Have I? I know I've played the Blue Tones before, but like,
I'm kidding.
But you can drop the needle like a minute. I think it has a super long intro,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that worked out well the last time we did it.
That's cool. Getting up on April episode.
She shed her secrets there. She shed her clothes and skin and hair. Her beautiful hair. That's when I made her mine.
Nice. That's a good tune.
It is a good tune. You would love them.
Yeah. What are they called again?
They're called the Blue Tones. You should definitely get their first album, especially.
I don't think I'm going to like them.
Cool. That's cool.
The Blue Tones.
This episode is taking a turn.
What do you classify them as? Pop rock?
Yeah. They were out in like Britpop times. So mm-hmm. I think they got classified as Britpop, but they're a bit more straightforward rock, I think. But the first album is called the Expecting to Fly. No, it has a song on it called The Fountainhead, but it's called Expecting to Fly. I think you would love it.
All right, I'll listen to it. Kyle, send me an email. Blue Tones.
Okay.
I'm going to play a song. My next song is going to be a song called Evelyn by my friend and friend of the show, Heather Stewart. Heather's been on the show, played live on the show, and this is from her 2013 album, What It Is, and this is a great song, Evelyn.
When I moved to Santa Monica, a broken house, a broken street, a lady up the hall lived above me with brown eyes, and so were mine and brown eyes. We had that in common. She was happy with nothing in her pocket. I could learn from Evelyn. She's famous, but you'll never know.
Heather's voice is so amazing.
Also, she played live at the Bowie show.
She did some great
Bowie covers.
Yes,
so
yes, she did.
Go listen to that show.
Yeah, it's just it's, you know, I had known Heather. I knew she sang and recorded music, but I didn't know her as that. I knew her just as Heather, our friend Heather.
Right.
And so when I finally got her CD, I was like, because it's hard to, I think it's hard to like separate. Like, okay, I'm now going to listen to this CD as if I'm listening to a real CD, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
somebody that I don't know.
Yeah, and I was holy.
It's like what you said about Veep. Like, you know, a lot of friends are on shows and they're or something, but like, no, she's great.
Yeah, she's really good.
She is great.
Really
she has a fantastic voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You gave it to her? That was nice of you.
One, it was her birthday, and I
that was a great gift.
Gave it to her.
It keeps giving.
I said, you know what? You need to sing. Broom.
You're a magician.
I touched your cheek. A gypsy touched your
cheek.
You're
a wizard, so therefore I'm not interested in what you're saying. Okay, well, I'm going to play my friend.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to play one. I'm going to play one.
Oh, dag.
We're going to talk, and then you're going to play
and
the
then
play
there's
out.
There's just one more.
Yeah, and you get it.
This is pressure, dude.
I know.
All right, well, we're going friend for friend. I repeat myself. I talk about Billy Bragg all the time. This is him.
You
it's
brag
a song.
About him.
I brag about Billy Bragg all the time. This is a song called Another Kind of Judy.
You even have a bed and breakfast tattoo on your
head. That's right.
Oh, that was for BB guns.
Oh, she does. She loves BB guns.
Calling round on all fours. I was looking for a lover or a just cause. But she turned out to be another kind of Judy. She took me down to the cherry tree.
35 going on 17. I was missing in action in the local scene, but she turned out to be another kind of Judy.
Did you listen to music on the way down here today?
Yes.
What'd you listen to?
I'm trying to think of what exactly was playing when I got out of the car.
Was it something you chose to listen to?
Yeah, it was a mix I made for somebody, and I was like testing it out to make sure it was rad before I gave it to him.
wait a minute.
You don't do that?
What is the rad?
I fully do that.
What is, you mean?
I'll make a mix for somebody, and then I'll burn it and play it in my car to be like, is this rad enough to give away?
Did it flowed? Like the sequencing was good?
Yeah, I got to listen to it like it's an album.
I feel like your life is just high fidelity.
Yeah. Like it that. Is. And then, it really is. Like the only joy I get is music and making mixtapes.
And then at some point, sometimes you go, that was...
Yeah,
that
I'll listen
rad,
to it and I'll go...
It's not rad enough.
It's not rad enough. I'll be like, that song doesn't fit with that. It shouldn't follow that song. I need to replace it with something else.
So you don't start from scratch. You might just pull one song off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll be like, oh, this will fit better following that. Yeah. So this is like my only hobby.
You pull out the tape decks.
Yeah, put them next to each other, the double tape decks. So, but I don't remember what I was listening to, like the song that was playing when I think it was Genius of Love, Tom Tom Club.
Oh, wow.
Because I was making that go into White Town, Your Woman. It was like the dance block of the mix.
How'd that fit?
It fit pretty good, actually. Okay, cool. I think it's rad enough to give away.
When you burn this, do you put 0 seconds between songs?
0 seconds.
So it just flows right
in. Flows right through.
All right.
Yep.
You're nuts.
This will go down as the episode where you have been the meanest to me. Just FYI.
We're laughing. We're all having a good time.
Are we? Okay.
wait, apologies? Because it's my turn now. Then you have to pick a play out.
Crap. You're right. Okay.
Apologies to Elvis Costello. Sorry, Veronica. Apologies to Blondie. Sorry, Maria. Apologies to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Sorry, Magnolia. Apologies to the Monkees. Sorry, Valerie. But I will end my song list with a guy named Peter Wolf, lead singer of the Jay Giles Band. I don't really like Jay Giles Band. I don't. But I love Peter Wolf solo. It's weird.
Okay.
Like, I don't like Black Sabbath. I love Ozzy solo.
Do you like Peter and the Wolf?
Do not like Peter and the Wolf so much. I like the Wolf in the Three Little Pigs. That guy's cool.
Oh, yeah, he's cool.
He's just trying to get some bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't like bacon? This is a song from 1996. The album's called Long Line, and this song is called Rosie.
They say you can see the future right in the palm of your hand, but I don't need a fortune teller girl to tell me where I stand. Never thought I'd be so lonely, never thought I'd come crashing down. Here I am, but one chance only, one chance to turn it all around. I won't let you down here and now.
That's good, dude.
That's a questionable note, that last part.
That little woo-hoo.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
That's okay. You're going to close it out with a song, so you better pick a strong one.
Look, all this talk about ABC reminded me of when I saw them open for these guys.
Now hold on a second. We're going to do a little promoting.
Whoa, okay.
Follow you at APE.
Yes.
APEY on Twitter.
Indeed.
What's your website?
AprilRichardson.com.
That's, how are people going to remember
I don't
that?
Know.
Kyle,
you should write it
just
down.
Change your last name.
Write it down.
You have a fan page on Facebook.
Yes.
So like that. Don't try to be a real friend.
Don't try to be a real friend. I'm not having it.
No, she's going to say, fuck you.
My fan page is like April Richardson Comedy, I think.
Yeah. So go there.
There are so many April
Richardsons
in the
world. When I tag
you
in things, I tag your fan page because I don't want people to think they can go over there.
That shit's private.
And visit with you.
I post private things about Morrissey.
About Morrissey and about a rad mix.
Exactly.
Kyle, what'd you listen to on the way in today?
I listened to Never Not Funny.
Oh, okay. Who was the guest?
Paul Reiser, but I didn't get to that part yet. I talked to my parents and then I started playing that and then that was...
All right.
I came here.
Cool. You listen to Never Not Funny every week?
Not every week, but lately I've been getting back into it because I can Bluetooth in my car. It's way easier than downloading.
TMI.
This guy, right? Yes. Asking us about our lives. And then when we tell him, he doesn't want it.
It's a funny gag. You're at Kyle Dotson Funny on Twitter.
Yep.
Do you have a fan page on Facebook?
No. I used to, but then I was like, why the fuck do I have this? So I deleted it.
Gotcha. Maybe someday you're on a tour bus opening for a comedian. And maybe get a fan page back.
Start a fan page for your self-esteem. Ooh, get it to come back.
I like that.
Kyle's self-esteem. go like Kyle's self-esteem.
Yeah.
I am at Pat_Francis. We are at Rock Solid Show. Please read Andrew Rich's show notes at rocksolidpodcast.com. Also, you can donate to us, or you can buy a t-shirt, or you can go to Amazon and just whatever you want to do. But I appreciate it. I've gotten tons and tons of emails lately. People really loving the show. I love to hear from you guys. You can also Facebook message me whenever you want. I will answer you. I'm not like April, who doesn't want to talk to people.
Okay.
I'm kidding. It's
look,
what,
I get
what do you usually respond in an hour? What is it? A day?
Listen, first of all, many messages I get are from pervy dudes. So no, thank you.
See, I don't get pervy dudes.
And I got so many in a row that I was like, I don't even want to look at this anymore. Yeah. It was really bumming me out.
You also get the pervy dudes, but they just want to talk about Steely Dan when they message you.
Or they want to know what April's really like.
I got a few like really explicit ones in a row where I was like, oh, for sure. Constantly.
That's the worst.
It is the worst. And so it made me like not want to look at it. And then same with Twitter. There are just days where I'm like, I don't even want to look at my at mentions.
Yeah.
Because they're awful.
Like, Jen Kirkman always goes on these rants on Twitter, and I totally agree with everything she says.
Yes.
But even when I like try to get in there and like agree, like I said, I totally agree with you. I have daughters now, and I'm 100% behind you. And then batshit crazy person will be like, how come it took you having daughters to realize that? Okay,
right.
That's not what I said.
Right.
That's not what I said.
Yeah, it's still grim for ladies on the internet. Yeah, so that's grim. Why I don't really, there are days I don't look at my messages, and I apologize if you send me a kind one and I don't respond.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it though.
I can't believe you get a pervy message.
Why? Because I'm so gross? Is that why?
Wait a minute. Do you want a
JK,
pervy
JK,
message?
JK. No.
All right.
I'm talking really explicit things.
How am I going to delete this message that I just
said? Whoops.
Okay, what's your song? Let's play. Let's send it out of here on a high note.
Gotta go, Human League. This is not a high note. It's kind of a sad jam that I love called Louise.
Never heard this song.
Yes, you have. Just wait.
Rock and peace, Louise.
Whoa.
Rock and peace, Prince.
Definitely.
Yeah. Rock and peace, Murray.
When he saw her get on the bus, it seemed to wipe away the years. Her face was older, just a little rough, but her eyes were still so clear. He drank his coffee and he hurried out across before she walked away. Then he approached her like a little child, too scared for what he had to say. Hello, Louise, remember me. Now should we part or stay a while? As if we were still lovers. She took a moment just to recognize the man she'd known so well before. As he started to apologize, lose any bitterness she bore, she gently put her finger on his lips to let him know she understood. And with her suitcase standing on the floor, embraced him like a lover would. Told Lou